Good morning.
Good morning.
Couple of announcements. Jeff will be back, hopefully Friday. And Brendan, if he comes back safe and sound. Do we miss him?
Yes.
He's much missed. Baby bottles. Technically, the season for these is done, but if you still want to give, notify, contact Bonnie or Jeff. We'll make sure you get money where it needs to go for the PRC. Good morning.
Hi.
Well, good to have you here. I want to open this morning by singing you a song. You ready? I'm one of the best. Man can write, voice, hit every key on note. A song that I learned when I was a child, and I never lost it. Goes like this. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man. For there is one God and one mediator, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for us all, who gave himself a ransom for us all, who gave himself a ransom for us all. Oh, what a wonderful Savior! For there is one God and one mediator between God and man. For there is one God and one mediator, the man, Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but my parents, believers, raised me in a church where we sang hymns and we sang choruses. And all the choruses, coming out of probably the 50s and 60s, were basically Bible verses. Anybody know this verse? First Timothy 2, 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for us all to be testified in time. It's almost forbidden. Reminds me of Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and himself and he will hear me. In Hebrews 4:16, we have, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When the disciples asked Lord Jesus Christ how to pray, he says, pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I just strung four verses back to back. Christ is the mediator. He is in between us and God. We have access to God the Father through Jesus Christ. And that access is so wonderful because the picture is we can come in and out. Revelation 3:20. And not only can we come in and out, but we can come to the throne of grace with boldness with all our petitions. And then the Lord's Prayer, our Father, who art in heaven, we go directly to the Father. We don't need a pope. We don't go through Mary. We don't go through Pastor Jeff. We don't go through any human. We have direct access to God himself through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you belong to Jesus,
amen,
Christ as Lord and Savior, you have direct access And that's where you take.
Amen.
All your praises and admiration for what God has done for you. That's where we go to confess our sins directly to the Father. That's where we go to bring our thanksgiving. And then we bring in our supplications. Supplication, a word that we use to say the things that we can come for. Lord, we need these things. As believers, that is a beautiful doctrine to hold and understand. For there's only one God, and there's one mediator, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just give you thanks that in your word we have direct access to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We come to you with all our adoration, praise, and giving you the honor and glory that is due your name. We come before you with our confession of our sins, listening one by one, knowing that the blood of Jesus Christ has covered them all, has removed them from the deepest parts of the sea. We have direct access coming with our hearts full of thanksgiving for those beautiful truths. Our position of now belonging to the family of God, we are thankful for all that Christ did for us on the cross. And the last of all, Lord, we come with a list boldly before you, praying in your will that things be done in our life, giving us the things that we need to live, giving us understanding of your word, strengthening us to fulfill all that we need to do. So if we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us,
amen,
we can ask, Lord, give us that strength. So this morning, Lord, I just ask you to just be in our hearts. We come to you with complete adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplications. We do it through our Lord's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Get your Bibles, open up to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read a number of verses in Galatians chapter 5. And this passage fits into where I'm going this morning, the sermon. Galatians 5, let's start with verse 13. Galatians 5, 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you do not consume of one another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, you are under the law. You're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, rebellions, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live by in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we have your word before us. And there's a number of things in this chapter that we need to grasp and understand. I'd ask, Lord, that you would open our eyes and ears and our hearts.
Amen.
That we may understand what it is to have the marks of Christ upon us. So, Father, we just ask this in our Lord and Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Keep that passage in your mind as we will end the sermon in a few moments. Okay, last week, do you remember what I was preaching on?
Bond marks.
Bond marks, Galatians 6:17. Let's go back and review that verse. Galatians 6:17. Now remember, Galatians 6 comes after Galatians 5, which we just read. Galatians 5 gets us down into verse 17. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Paul was making a defense that he was truly an apostle, called to Jesus Christ to take the gospel to the Gentiles. His argument being, I have the body marks, the scars, to prove it. All of Paul's scars, physical scars, and mental, all because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Paul, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. To be a disciple of Jesus Christ, by default, understanding God's word, that we should go through tribulation. Through much tribulation, into the kingdom of God. These marks on Paul were like a stigma. I think the actual Greek word means stigma. Or body marks. Prints on the body. Like a tattoo. It was disgrace to have these marks on you. You were frowned upon, you looked down upon. Just like a slave being branded for the master that he was under. Or prisoners, like in World War II, were branded with a tattoo. Carried a huge, negative, blemished stigma on that person. That's the word Paul uses. Paul did not put these body marks, the scars that he had, on himself. Okay? Paul didn't put them there on himself. It was those who were in opposition to the gospel of Jesus Christ, haters of Christ, that put them on him.
Right.
He did not do it by choice. He wasn't mentally ill, flogging himself to be like Christ. There are still places around this world, even to this day, people will try to make some kind of long journey, trip, up a mountain, flogging themselves, thinking that they're identified with Christ, suffering.
Yep.
That's not right. In fact, it's heresy. Never in the scriptures do we find that we are to do something anywhere near that. Paul did a lot of open air preaching, street preaching. He was heard by a lot of people. He He was hated by a lot of people. He was hated because of the message he was preaching. But that's a rule of scripture. Matthew 10:22. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Rule of scripture?
Yeah.
If you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to be hated. But what was Paul doing? He was following Christ's life. And I broke Christ's life down in four categories. The first one was submission. Christ was always in submission to the will of the Father. He never did anything out of self-motivation or gratification. Christ lived a life of purity. He was sinless. As Paul teaches us that we are to mortify the flesh, we find that in Romans 6. We want to become Christ-like and pure in every aspect of our lives. We want to live lives without sin.
Amen. Try.
The Word of God is our guide. Psalm 119:105. The Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's Word gives us purpose and direction in life. We are to abstain from all appearance of sin. Not just committing it, but just the appearance of committing it. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. The third aspect of Christ's life, one suffering. Christ took on a lot of suffering even before he got to the cross. They wanted to kill him a number of times. Every time he turned around, he was meeting with grief and anguish from the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, every way he turned. The last section, which is satisfaction. Christ, in Hebrews 12:2, says, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Christ went to the cross on our behalf with joy. That's a hard concept. He was brutally beaten and crucified. And his attitude and heart was, this is for his sheep that he died. Our satisfaction is to be the same. You know, one of our famous hymns around Easter is we sing, it is well with my soul. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul.
Yep.
That means, as a believer, anything and everything that happens to us, all is well.
Yep.
We do not waver, we do not bend, we do not complain, we do not regret. God, why is my lot in life like this? Our attitude is, our lot in life is what he's given us, and we are to thank him for it in every way, in every aspect. Satisfaction. We should be Christians living a life of satisfaction with Christ. Okay, but there's two sides to this coin. Paul is trying to show what his bond marks were. What are the bond marks of man in general? Sin. What do unbelievers look like? Galatians 5:19-21, that list I gave you. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, strife, wrath, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rebellion, such like.
If what I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you look at the first four of these, I don't think there's any specific order to these types of sins. But the first grouping seems to be sin of the flesh. Significant sins that are of a sexual manner against our bodies. In 1 Corinthians 6:19-22, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own, but you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Yep.
The question is, since we are true believers, we are saints, we belong to God, God's Holy Spirit dwells in us, and since he dwells within us, our body is important. It's significant. We're to take care of it. But what is these words? What are these definitions of all these words? What is adultery? It's sexual relations outside of marriage. Fornication. Sexual relations between people that aren't married. And that's a big one. Fornication is a big one. And it's inside the church today. Everywhere you see it. I don't know if you run into it, but I run into it everywhere. This is the excuse for people allowing fornication to occur in their life. It's everywhere. Marriage is not a big deal. It's just a piece of paper. Everybody's doing it. But we get married anyways. It's financially better if we just delay it or wait to get married. We want to be good stewards of our money, of course. Nobody cares about this topic. What's the big deal? It's not a huge sin. We're going to get married in our own way and our own time. Excuse, 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 excuse. In the church. You expect it outside the church, but it's inside the church. Lasciviousness. Unbridled lust. Excess, lack of moral restraint, sexual immorality. If we look where our country is today, these sins are rampant. But is there anything new under the sun? It's been from the beginning.
Right on.
Witchcraft. Sorcery, anything that you would take to find or directly into finding out knowledge of life outside of scriptures. Superstitious ideas, thoughts, actions, such as mediums, tarot cards, Ouija boards, seance, crystals, horoscopes, all those things. As Christians, we are to stay away from those.
Right on.
King Saul committed grievous sin in this area. Of course, we have idolatry. Worship anything other than God. Or making something to represent him. One of the reasons we don't have pictures of Christ on our wall, because it's an artist's opinion of what Christ looks like, and we're not going to have that. We believe that's breaking the second commandment. Hatred. You think of hating your neighbor, family member. It goes further than that. People within the church oftentimes hate their pastor. Variance, disagreement, dissension, quarreling, lack of unity, emulation, jealous, competition, ambition, driven by envy, wrath, violent anger, indignation, rage, fury, strife, a strong, ongoing conflict over a fundamental issue, sometimes violent, seditions, actions or speech designed to incite people to rebel, heresies, believe a theory that is in direct opposition to the Bible, envying, want something somebody else has, murders, premeditated act of killing somebody, drunkenness, intoxication leads to moral and spiritual decay, rebellion, noisy partying, carousing, pagan lifestyles, such like people that practice these will not enter the kingdom of God. But we also have another list, Ten Commandments. Thou shalt no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any gods with any graven images. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor. There's another list of Proverbs. Six things which the Lord hates. Seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, pride, prideful eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to do evil, a false witness who declares lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. It's a serious list. There's another list in Romans 3. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already changed, both Jews and Gentiles are under sin. As it is written, there is no righteous person, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks out God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and they have not known the ways of peace. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is all the mark of man. Remember back in Genesis 6:5? And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Significant verse. Because God destroyed the world of water, saved eight souls. Evil continually. Kind of wonder what that sounds like today. We have numerous examples of sins throughout the whole Bible. But someone say, John, the word homosexuality is not in the Bible. That's a lie. When translators translate the Bible, different translators will use different words to get the meaning of the word they have in Hebrew or Greek. Sometimes it takes a group of words to get the meaning. Examples. Leviticus 18:22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, it's an abomination. But another translation, if a man also lie with mankind, he also lie with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death, yep. The blood shall be upon them. Leviticus 20:13, if a man practices homosexuality, having sex with another man as with the woman, both men have committed a detestable act. They must be put to death, and they are guilty of capital offense. The word homosexual is in Scripture. Anybody bridges you with that in an argument? No. It is all over God's Word. Just bring up the story of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yep. Amen.
Those people were sexually immoral beyond measure. But it kind of looks like today in some ways, doesn't it? Isaiah 3:9 says, the show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Paul's exhortation is, be Christ-like. Do not be of this world. In 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, or effeminate, which refers to traits that are effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Paul's laying down the gauntlet. If you do these things, you are not saved. But we find in Galatians 5, Paul makes a list of what a believer looks like. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If I were to mention to you how many are the one another's in Scripture, how many do we have? Probably 26 of them. Love one another, kind one another, patient one another, on and on and on. Those are the marks of a believer doing those things. We are to live our lives in submission to Christ, living lives of purity and endurance, because there will be affliction, persecution, tribulation. Gotta have endurance. Believers are to be the salt of the world, the light to the lost. There has to be a change in your life from what you were before you were saved into what you are now. There has to be a change. You have to be a new person. The question is, does the world see it? If I were to open up the floor and ask this question, list the things that are different now in your life than they are when you were an unbeliever, would you be able to notice? I'd be hard pressed to do a lot of this one. I have a good list. Because we're the same. We haven't really changed. Too often we look like the world. Question. Do your friends and family really know your dedication, devotion to Christ? Your desire, commitment is above all the things in this world? Your heart's desire is to please God, serve in His church? My experience has been, when I'm out in public, meeting friends and neighbors, even other believers, it is so hard to get a spiritual conversation going. You can talk a lot about probably the tribulation, the end times, the mark of the beast, all that kind of thing. But boy, you bring up the conversation, well, God's sending a lot of people to hell. That conversation ends in a nanosecond. What do believers truly look like? We don't live in a time, in an area where we are basically under physical torment, torture, incarceration, having our things taken. So what do we look like? Do we stand out as being different? I asked a question in Sunday school class. How has the world crept into the church? How has the world crept into the church? We came up with a number of things. They sell coffee at the church. They sell t-shirts in the church. The music is almost the same. You really can't tell them sometimes. I think the church is somehow no different than the world in so many respects. The challenge is really as believers, if we are marked believers, if His mark is on us, we should look, act differently to the point where they start to hate you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
People don't like to hang around people that want to live pure lives. They don't like to hang around people that don't like to do the things that they like to do. And they sure don't like to hear conversations that deal with God's doctrines. I ask the question, because many of us are in tune with the end times, there is the mark of the beast. Whether the mark of the beast is a literal mark in your forehead and your wrist, or is it a spiritual mark? Many believe that there's going to be a literal mark so you cannot buy and sell. I would have to say that we've gotten so overbalanced in the American churches of today about the end times that we neglect to do the studying of God's Word that's necessary. Because when I say I do a word study on the word mark, you can find umpteen usages of the word mark. But we've run away with this concept that if you can just not get this mark of the beast on your forehead and on your wrist, then you'd be saved. I would say that the mark of man is everything in Galatians 5, Romans 3, all those lists of sins are the marks of the flesh. If you are committing anything on those lists, stop and repent. Follow Christ. Now, don't look back. To repent means to turn from one direction and go in the opposite direction. If you are guilty of anything, take it to Jesus Christ. Put it at the feet of Christ on the cross. Christ knows who His sheep are. He knows who the people are just making statements about their quote-unquote Christian position. He knows who the hypocritical are. The devil is going about in this world making war on the saints.
Hmm? Yep.
In our neck of the woods, do we actually see that transforming taking place in your life right now? Do you see any evidence of a war against your soul? We're not in any physical tribulation, persecution right now. But if it were to happen, are you ready? Trust me, we stub our toe on something. It's painful. Can you imagine losing everything you have, being put in prison, being flogged, and praising Christ standing for? That's where Christian maturity, I believe, really literally took everything I had. He took my family, my wife, my house, my children. I'm still in prison. As Job says, even though he's slain, he's my redeemer. Paul is trying to teach us the spiritual aspect of what the marks of a believer are. And if those marks are truly present, it's going to be visible by others. They're going to see that you're different. You're going to see that you have a true love for your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I've said over and over again, I have talked to people umpteen times that claim to be believers, and I remember the word Christ, Lord, Savior, appreciation, thanksgiving, for all the word Christ never comes out of their mouth. That's an impossibility for a believer, in my opinion. If you have the opportunity to have somebody in your home for an hour, hopefully in that hour, hey, by the way, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and show love to that person by making a defense of the faith that resides in you. I can't understand this concept of we can be believers and it's like a bushel is over us and nobody sees any light. There's got to be something different. And I tell you right now, if you were to break down all these sins in Galatians chapter 5, in your heart, how many are you guilty of? You don't have to actually do them. Remember now? The Lord says you don't have to commit adultery. It just has to come into your heart and mind.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The commandments are taken to such a higher level for us. We don't want to be associated with anybody that would give us the appearance of our sin. We repent of our sins and follow Jesus Christ. That's the message of the gospel. Do you this day believe? Or do you believe that, well, I've committed so many sins that there's no way God can forgive me? That's not a good place to be. We're all sinners. The cross, the blood, his love for us is greater than all of it. How wonderful it is. Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances against that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. There is no sin too heinous, too large, that the blood of Jesus Christ does not cover.
Yep, yep.
But as believers, if we repent of that sin, this is where rubber meets the road. We've got to stop, and we've got to go in the right direction. And the only way you know to go in the right direction is you've got to be in God's Word, you've got to be fellowship with believers continually. I don't believe there's this lone wolf out concept, being out in back 40, having your own church, your own worship, not having any interaction with people. I think that's a believer should not have any mindset. We want to be in the world, but not of it. But at the same time, we've got to be very careful because we want to be anywhere near people that are living lives of sin. Just by appearance, that is a high level. That may mean people you associate with, you should not be associated with. And if you are associated with those people, the only reason you're associated with is because you're trying to give them the gospel. But as time goes, will your faith stand if you hang around and spend all your time outside the walls of the local church in God's Word? God's Word is huge. There's a lot in it. There are so many verses that we need to grasp and understand. And that's why I want to encourage you. We have studies. Sunday class and Wednesday study. You're all welcome. Jeff is an open door for questions anytime. In person, by text, email. Our desire is to see believers grow. Do you want to grow in Christ? I hope you do. Do you want to serve and love Him? I hope you do. The gospel of Jesus Christ. There is God. He's holy. He is going to deal with sin. To avoid His wrath, we need to hear the good news. His Son, Jesus Christ, sent by the Father in this world to suffer, to die, to be buried, and to rise again on the third day.
All of that.
To pick up your cross and follow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Once you've been converted. That's the gospel. I ask that you take all these things, do a word study of everyone you send. Ask yourself, am I doing this in thought or deed? Every one of them. Some of these words you don't even understand. I had to look them up. Various. What in the world is various? It's an old English word. Emulations. You've got to put some effort into it. That's all right. Father in heaven, we just come to you. Lord, I just pray that you put into the heart of each one of us here a true desire to truly bear the marks of our Lord Jesus Christ. May all the things we think, do, or say be aligned to your word. We want to be men and women walking in lives of holiness, purity.
Yes, indeed. Amen.
Having a care for the lost. Mm-hmm. If we've seen the light, Lord, we should have the desires that those around us would see the light too. So, Lord, I just ask that you just empower each one of us to conquer sin in our lives. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keep us on our knees before you for confessing our sins on a daily basis.
Oh, yes.
No sin is too tough for our Lord.
Oh, wow.
So, Lord, as we live this week, give us opportunity to live in front of others as we ought to. Mm-hmm. We just give you praise. We thank you for this opportunity in this short period of time. Uphold us, strengthen us, guide us, lead us. This we ask in our Lord's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.